gods, Ambrosia.
When the machine had been hidden from human hands and scattered across the Earth much later, it had been taken apart in three pieces. The top section, the large bowl that sat over the other two bowls, had been the hardest to find throughout the history open to Lindstrom. He touched the top bowl, seeking the resonance he hoped to find within it. His fingertips registered the humming vibration within the strange silvery metal glass that was like nothing else on the Earth. In some of the moments in the pasts he'd visited, he'd talked with people who thought the machine was of divine origin, if not extraterrestrial. There were also some who believed it had been smithed by a process that had been forgotten, and others swore the unknown metal had come from the meteor that had smacked into the Earth millions of years ago and killed off all the dinosaurs. Lindstrom didn't know and didn't care. All that mattered was that the machine worked. His fingertips grazed the cool metal surface that oozed and shifted beneath them. The metal was hard, nearly indestructible, yet it gave at his touch. Electricity flared from the metal bowl and arced to his fingers. The spark lit up the whole room and knocked Lindstrom backward. He stumbled for 5 or 6 steps, then caught his balance. Fiery comets, blazing golden and blue, orbited within the metal for a moment. He gazed at them, and suddenly the world he perceived around him shifted and took a sudden, hard turn to the left. Black-clad men ran everywhere in front of Lindstrom. He stood transfixed in a narrow metal corridor, looking at an elliptical door. Water swirled around his ankles, cold and smelling of the salty sea. An officer shouted, waving his hand for effect.
Get out!
He was clad in black as well, but the cut of his clothing denoted his station. Lindstrom concentrated. Usually, a dream within a dream meant something, brought special knowledge of the machine that he wanted. Men yelled and ran around him. He was nearly knocked down twice. He turned, trying to figure out where he was, trying to figure out who the men were. Before he could guess, one of the men grabbed him by the front of the black uniform he wore. His, he noticed then, was different from the uniforms of the other men. Where they wore common blouses and baggy pants, his uniform was crisp and clean. There was a scarlet band around his left upper arm. There, on a field of white, the right-angled arms of a swastika stood out boldly. The Germans, Lindstrom thought. I'm with the Germans. He stumbled through the narrow corridor after the man who pulled him. However, the man's actions caused the person Lindstrom visited mentally to draw his sidearm. He wasn't surprised to see the Luger clenched in his fist. He'd dreamed of the German Nazis before. The man grew wide-eyed, looking at the pistol suddenly thrust into his face. He released Lindstrom and held up his hands.
No!
Never dare touch me again. I am one of the Führer's select men.
I'm sorry, Captain, but we must hurry to other parts of the boat. With this section taking on water as it is, the crew will shut it off from the rest of the boat. I don't know how extensive the damage is.
Boat? Lindstrom glanced around. For all intents and purposes, he was in a long, narrow corridor. Great engines on either side of him filled the walls. Steel encased him like a tomb, and the realization sent a sudden stab of fear shooting through him. He had been here before. Perhaps this was the first time in a dream, but he had been there before.
Captain, I beg you, this is no time to stand and do nothing. The commander of this boat will not hesitate to save this vessel or his men, no matter who you are, even at the cost of our own lives.